Morning.
Good. Good morning, Tony. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. I had an awesome time on the island. We broadcast three live shows from there. And I tell you what, John, I walked away from there wanting to hit myself in the head with a bat because there's so much news right in front of you, but you gotta look at different aspects. And we're going to talk about a story which makes all the sense in the world that you wrote. But before we get into that, tell me about your what'd you learn from your experience there.
Well, actually, I followed it long distance this year. Mm-hmm. I've been to the Mackinac Conference half a dozen times, mm-hmm. but this year I was down in the office in Detroit. But, you know, every year we get together, and every year we talk about regional cooperation and reinventing Michigan. And I think over the 20 years or so that I've been going there, I've seen them make some progress, but every year we think we need to make more. So I guess the answer is that, you know, the need to reinvent Michigan and its economy is still as real as ever, and we need to keep working on it.
Well, we hear so much about the negativity, especially about Detroit with Michigan. With negativism, I guess, could come opportunity. That's one of the major themes up there, as opposed to looking at Detroit as a very downtrodden wasteland, if you will, which I heard someone call it that. A lot of the business folks I talked to thought that it was a great place for opportunity. Land was cheap. There was some infrastructure that was good to go. They had the ideal workers coming from Michigan State, Michigan, the other universities that we have in the state. So there's opportunity there for business to grow.
Yeah, and I think one way to think of Detroit is that we now have a lot of excess urban capacity, which some people translate as empty factories and empty homes and a lot of wasteland. But a lot of people would say, you're right, the land is available and it's cheap. We have a good workforce. We have a good road system. And, you know, what can we do with this? And the big debate in Detroit right now, Tony, is what do we do with it? If we have all this land, should it be large-scale urban farming? Should it be reforestation? Should it be wind panel or you know, wind farms and solar panel farms so we can generate more of our own energy? So there's a lot of thoughts like that on the table right now and some very interesting debates going on.
Do you have a sense of where Detroit may lean, or may they dabble into all those ideas?
Well, I hope they dabble into all those ideas because we really do have a lot of excess capacity right now. A lot of land available. We obviously need to replace the auto industry to some extent. The auto industry will never again have, you know, the hundreds of thousands of jobs that it once did. It'll be successful again, but it's never again going to provide all the jobs that it once did. So we really need to come up with something new. And so I think since there's no one thing that's the answer, I think we need to move in a lot of different directions.
One key item, which you recently wrote about, was talked about quite a bit on the island, and that was turning Detroit and Michigan's shoreline, if you will, or border boundary with Canada into more of a import-export area, especially when you consider that that's what they're doing in upstate New York, and we have all these opportunities with the Great Lakes really at our beck and call, and there's a lot of opportunity for business to grow and for money to be made for the city.
Yeah, and so we wrote Sunday, we have a kickoff to a series on the Great Lakes that we're doing this summer, and the lead story was Sunday that I wrote, and we said Michigan has more water than Saudi Arabia has oil, which is literally true. I mean, the volume of water that we have is much, much greater than what Saudi Arabia has oil, and so the question is, what can we do with this amazing resource? Now, we already use it a lot in manufacturing and agriculture and so on. But in the last year or two, there's all kinds of efforts that have sprung up in government, in academia, in business to try to come up with new ways to use our water resource. And a lot of it's going to be generating new technologies to measure water, to purify it, to make it more efficient in the way we use it, to clean it up after we use it in something like manufacturing or agriculture. So there's all kinds of new companies that are coming up with new technologies. And there's all kinds of coalitions and so on that are springing up and all kinds of conferences that are being planned for this year all around the seam of water. And I think we don't realize in Michigan how lucky we are sometimes. We have 20% of the world's fresh water right here. The rest of the world is thirstier than ever. There's a huge demand for technology that will make water more efficient. That is, you use it once, can you reuse it somehow by after you clean it up? And there's no reason why Michigan can't be the center for that kind of technology cluster. And that's what we hope we can create here, and we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of efforts underway, but we'll see how they turn out.
Well, those business clusters, those IT clusters, those technology clusters that you were talking about was another idea that was talked a lot about on the island. And in reading your story, there are many, many companies that are making investment and studying how this water could be put to better use.
Yeah, it's interesting. And there are a lot of these little companies that you've never heard of, or maybe, you know, some folks have heard of, but Cascade Engineering in Grand Rapids has now got a water purifying device, a little portable water purifying device for use in the third world. They're going to make hundreds of thousands of these. There's an Israeli company named Maya that's working on various kinds of tests here on technology to clean up water and recycle it, and a company called Limnotech out of Ann Arbor, spinoff out of the University of Michigan, that does software that analyzes where your water system is and what you need to do to make it more efficient. So there's a whole lot of companies, again, pretty small scale, pretty obscure. These are 50 people, 100 people companies, but that may be the leaders of the future as this technology develops.
And with the Great Lakes right at Michigan's doorstep, exporting was another topic talked about on the island, using those waterways more efficiently and really making trying to make Michigan a force when it comes to being an exporting hub.
Yeah, well, we are a manufacturing hub. We know that. We are centrally located. We have great networks, rail and highway and shipping hubs and so on. The great airport, and so a lot of what people are asking about, well, since we already manufacture a whole lot of good stuff, and we have great transportation networks, why don't we just sort of send more stuff out of the country? I mean, we already send it out of the state to other states. Why don't we send it out of the country? And so there's a lot of attention to just how do you export, and how do we take advantage of our central location and these great networks, these transportation networks that we already have in place. And so that's when you get into things like, do we want to create an aerotropolis around Metro Airport? That's when you get into things like the new bridge to Canada, which, of course, is a debate in itself. But taking advantage of our position and our manufacturing expertise and base to do more with it than we already do. This is not a new industry you have to create. You just have to kind of use what you got a little bit more efficiently.
All right, John. And finally, speaking of that new bridge, that was a hot topic on the island also. And I get a sense that there are a lot of folks out there who were for it. It was interesting to me to find out how many people are really stepping in front of the Maroon family, trying to keep them out of the process. Just from what you know, from what you learned, what do you think? Will there be a bridge? Does Detroit need one?
Well, at this point, I think the odds are still 50-50. I think most people, most business interests, and most business interests, and the governor and a lot of the people supporting him want the new bridge. The Maroon family, which owns the Ambassador Bridge, has been very skillful at throwing up roadblocks in front of a new bridge, and I still think it's an open question whether or not we're going to have it. I think that everyone, including the Maroons, agree that we need a new bridge. The question is who's going to build it and where. To have this enormous amount of commerce moving over one 80-some-year-old piece of infrastructure that's too narrow and not as efficient as it should be, that's not good. So we need a new bridge. The question is who gets to build it and where.
All right, John, you talked about your summer-long series about the Great Lakes. What's the next story?
Well, that's still in planning, and I'm not sure exactly what's next, but we'll be looking at some of the environmental issues involving the Great Lakes and some of the recreational issues, too.
John Gallagher, the fine business reporter for the Detroit Free Press. Go to freep.com, pull up John Gallagher, and you'll see many of his articles at that location. Thanks so much, John.
Thanks. Anytime, Tony.